Welcome back to Beyond Classified. I'm Chris Matthew. Hosting with me today is Corey Hughes. Corey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Today, our guest is Max Egan. He is an activist, filmmaker, researcher, and creator of thecrowhouse.com. He exposes our illusions of freedom and the hidden agendas in our slave control matrix. Max, welcome back. How are you doing today?
I'm good, brother. Thanks for having me on again.
Of course, it's an honor every time to have you on. And every time you come on the show, every few months or so, our world slips deeper into this dystopian nightmare. And now the people that I thought I knew, I'm sure that people you thought you knew and thought were intelligent, that enjoyed their illusion of freedom that they had, appear to be mindless automatons just blindly abiding the mandates and enslavement agendas. And it's probably due to fear of losing their job, money, friends, livelihood, all that good stuff. And last time we spoke, things were starting to get a little intense there in Australia. I'd love to hear how things have kind of progressed since we last spoke.
Well, it's still really intense. It's insane. It's crazy. It's crazy down here. I don't even recognize my country anymore. It's crazy. I haven't seen a lot of my friends going that way and taking the jab and doing any of that sort of stuff. I guess I just hang around in the right circles. But I'm certainly seeing a lot of people, and it is through fear and the government's just pushing it and pushing it. You know, it's compliance via lockdown, basically. This is what the lockdowns are about. We've had such a low vaccine uptake in this country that we've had the worst lockdowns to try to pressure people into taking the jab, you know. There's a lot of pushback as well. There's a lot of pushback coming from even political areas. We've got police have now formed their own group to fight back against mandatory vaccines. So nurses and doctors have started their own group. There's new political parties forming. There's a lot of pushback from a lot of mainstream directions, which is really good to see. You know, all the stuff I've been saying and we've been saying for years, the mainstream are now seeing it now. It's not a theory. It's a conspiracy, but it's not a theory. And yeah, and all these people that have been pushing the lie have now realized that, hang on, it's coming for us as well. And so they're realizing that they've got to actually step onto the right side of history. You know, I don't think people really expected it to go as far as it has. I mean, and even those that can see the agenda, you know, they see it, but when it sort of really becomes a reality in their face, they really see it and they go, holy shit, what am I participating in? You know, so there's a lot of pushback. So, you know, I don't think they're going to win. I mean, they will in some ways because there's so many people that have already taken a jab and it's going to get sort of uglier yet, but there is a lot of pushback. So, yeah, we're on a knife edge at the moment, brother. I think we're going to be in a very different world by the end of the year. Actually, I think things are going to escalate a lot before the end of the year. And because the wheels are falling off so much and so many people are waking up, the politicians just have to push it harder and harder and harder because they can't back down. If they back down, they'll get torn to pieces in the streets if people ever realize just how much of a fraud this is, you know.
That's why I'm wondering if it's good to hear that there's pushback there. I'm wondering if there is so much there because they're moving so fast. It seems like Australia is like this Illuminati testing ground for all this extreme agendas that they're trying to push through. And they've been moving fast in general since the beginning. It seems like they're just rushing through this, going from, you know, the fake COVID to the vax within, you know, 0 to 60, and it's going beyond that now with the different variants and boosters that you'll have to get. So is that, you think it's because they're moving so fast people aren't, you know, going along with this so much?
I think people are seeing it. I think they're moving so fast because people are seeing it and they realize they've got a really short window. Like even with the elections here, we've got an election, it's got to be called by May next year, 22nd of May next year, we've got to have an election. There's a new political party formed by a mining magnate called Clive Palmer. He's a kind of a little bit like Australia's version of Donald Trump in a way, only he seems genuine. And I don't trust Trump. I don't know what your views are, but I don't trust that whole thing. I don't trust Clive Palmer either, but he almost seems half genuine. Some of the stuff that he's come in and said, he's basically said, look, there's no virus isolates. There's over 400 people that died from the jab. We've got over 40,000 injuries. And he's called out the New South Wales Premier for basically being bribed by lobbyists. That's why she's pushing the agenda so hard. He said a lot of really good stuff. So we've got to have this election by May. And there's been so many people move over to this political party, Clive Palmer's party, which would be the end of the two-party system in this country, which is kind of what we've got in, same as your country. You've got, you know, basically the Democrats and the Republicans, and we've got Liberal and Labor. It's the same in every freaking country. It's really a functional rotational dictatorship that looks like two parties, you know. But now we've got this other guy come along with this whole United Australia Party, which has got like 50,000 members in 2 weeks, biggest political party in Australia now. And the government's seeing this and they're going, well, hang on, we might be actually out of office next year, and it won't be the guys from the other side of the coin getting in. It'll be a whole new political party, which may in fact move us back to a point of safety where we could maybe move closer towards a voluntarist or anarchistic society. You know, I mean, it's a process to do that. So, I mean, they're seeing this here in Australia and seeing the danger of this political party actually getting in and the end of the two-party system. So that could be a good thing. That could be a really, really big thing. So they've got to push really hard to try to get this through and get all of this in place by May. And of course, they're going to have things like cyber polygon and stuff to kick in, shut down the communication. So they've got a lot of aces up their sleeve. But they're seeing now that there is a lot of pushback from the mainstream. There's a lot of really rich people that are putting a lot of money into campaigns against the government, and their window of opportunity is closing pretty rapidly. So, you mean, the Australian people may be pretty apathetic and pretty laid back, but again, we've had one of the lowest vaccine uptakes in the world. They just don't want it. So they've been kind of sitting back and waiting. And when it gets to the point where it really comes down to the wire, I think we're going to see a lot of them stand up and arc up and push back. I really do. So, yeah, they've got a short window to achieve this. So that's why I think they're running so quickly.
Australia and New Zealand in particular seem to have had the harshest measures in the world. Do you think that's a result of the low vaccine uptake, or do you it kind of looked to me like Australia and New Zealand were kind of being used as like testing grounds for what they can get away with?
Well, that too, that as well. I mean, definitely testing grounds, because we don't have the weapons here that we should have. But the reason it's been so harsh is because of the low vaccine uptake. I mean, we were like third from the bottom of the world when they started all these lockdowns, you know, and it's gradually starting to take up now, but only because of the lockdowns. Like, they're forcing people to, you can't even leave your suburb in Sydney. You can't even go work. Right now, the border here, you can't cross the border. I can drive down to New South Wales and go to the beach, which is just like 15 minutes away, but I can't come back across the border without getting a vaccine. What's that about? You know, like, you can't enter Queensland without being back. So, and we got towns that are on the border, like, you can't even tell the border's there. It's in the middle of town, you know. So you've got people living on both sides of the border. Their whole businesses are messed up and their lives are being destroyed just in order to get the jab. You've got to get the jab before you can cross the border. It's crazy. That's the sort of measures they've got to resort to try to get this stuff into people, because nobody wants it. But after 19 months, I mean, people are starting to break down. So, yeah, I just give it to me. I just want to go back to normal. Thing is, it's not going to go back to normal. Even if you do take it, you give them a little bit and they take a mile. Give them an inch, they take a mile. So, you know, people have just got to hold the line and realize that the wheels are falling off this whole thing. The politicians cannot maintain what they're doing if we can just hold the line, and that's what needs to be done.
Any other questions for Max, Corey?
Not at the moment. I'm just really shocked every time I see what's going on there. It's like, this can't be real. It's really, because if that was going on here in America, you'd have dead people in the streets like crazy, because we just wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it. Seriously. I have to prepare myself constantly for the day that cops come knock on the door and I have to shoot them. Like, that's a fucking reality I'm coming to grips with, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like that here. I mean, I'm sort of waiting for the van to pull up and try to drag me away. And of course, I won't go. So that's going to be an interesting day. But yeah, I mean, it's really coming to that. The people are pushing back, though. Like, the protests in Victoria, they broke through the line in the protests in Victoria and started taking out a few cops. There was one guy who's like a wrecking ball. He was great. He went through the crowd, took out like four cops, this one guy, in a matter of about 10 seconds. I thought, wow, we need 1,000 of him in the crowd, you know? But that's the sort of thing that's starting to happen. People have had enough. There was a 70-year-old woman who was pushed over and got her head smashed and her hip broken or something. See, that might even be a watershed moment. So there's things happening, and even the cops are starting to see it. Like, we've got cops now pushing back and starting their own legal action against governments and So, you know, I mean, it's a little bit late. They should have maybe done it last year, but now it's coming for you. You're realizing that, yeah, this is what you've been doing to everybody else. So, well, you know, thanks for coming to the party anyway, even if you're late, you know. But there is pushback. So, you know, I haven't given up yet, but it is horrifying to see what's happening, mate. The brutality of the police is just next level, which is why the people comply so much, because they're just terrified of what's going to happen to them, because the cops will go out there and just kick the living shit out of them without any recourse. There's nothing you can do. Who are you going to report it to? The police, you know? So, you know, what do you do when the violence is coming from those guys themselves? And they're brutal, absolutely brutal. And they're that way for a reason. Just for twofold. One is to terrify the people into pushing back, and also to flush out the alpha males, get them angry so they will go and fight, so then they can take the alpha males out of society, so there won't be anyone to push back, you know? Because, I mean, a lot of guys see this. You see a woman being beaten like that, and you want to go out there and just kick the shit out of the cop, you know? You just do. But if you do that, you'll have about 20 of them on top of you, and they'll drag you away. So, you know, that's the way they play it.
Yeah, and when we're talking, speaking of how cops and people in law enforcement are reacting to some of these agendas and mandates that are trying to be put through, do you see any pushback from the officials, from the police, and even, you know, the medical industry, doctors, nurses? Do you see any people speaking out against this in Australia?
Well, you do now. You are now. I mean, there was some cops from New South Wales that were speaking out. A guy called Alex Coomey was speaking out, Cops for COVID Truth. But now that they're mandating the vaccine, is now you're seeing cops and nurses and doctors starting to speak out. It's like thousands of nurses are saying that, you know, if you don't have the jab by, I think it's like October 1st or something, you can't come to work anymore. That's it. And they're not sacking them. They're saying you've got to have the jab or take leave. Well, hang on, I don't want to have leave. If you want me to leave, you need to give me termination papers, but they won't do that because they can't terminate someone for not undergoing a medical procedure. You know, that, so the way they're doing it like this, it's, and they're doing it to the cops as well. You've got to have the jab or take leave. We're not going to sack you, but you've got to take indefinite leave. You know, so, and the cops are seeing this and they're pushing back. So there's hundreds of cops have joined this legal action against the government, and that's happening in all states. There's cops in New South Wales and Victoria and Queensland, and there's nurses unions in all countries doing it as well. Well, actually, nurses, they're doing it without the unions. The unions are actually pushing the jab. You know, like, it's a joke. People have seen what a joke the unions are. They're not standing up for the people. They're actually pushing the government line now. You know, so people are leaving the unions as well. There's been huge strikes and pushbacks against the unions. And so, you know, the whole place is imploding, basically. And I'm just sitting here eating popcorn, watching the show going, this is just, it's all just imploding around me, you know. It's crazy. It's just crazy times, you know.
When things get to court, one of the most important factors that the courts will look at is whether or not both parties were acting in good faith. And when you start to try to usurp basic systems like legislature, like with Joe Biden's trying to do with OSHA to force these mandates, it's blatantly obvious that they're not acting in good faith. They're acting in overtly bad faith, and I don't see how any of these actions can be supported in court.
No, well, they can't. None of the laws that they're pushing can be supported in court. None of the fines they're handing out, that's why nobody's paying them, and anybody who challenges them in court, they get thrown out because none of them are lawful. You know, when it really comes down to taking the government to task, though, I mean, that's the problem, is the courts are just as corrupt as the government. So how do you get any satisfaction from that court system? I mean, look what happened with the election with you guys. It took that to the Supreme Court. They just threw it all out. Shows how much faith you can have in the court. I mean, and the election was such an obvious fraud. And Biden doing all these, I don't think Biden's making any decisions. I don't think Biden even knows how to think. So I don't even know if that's Biden. Is it someone wearing a mask? I mean, I don't know what's going on with this guy. It's like America's like a Muppet show at the moment. It's crazy. It's just like you got this. It's like you don't have a leader. You don't have a president.
He does look like a different person or a robot every time you see him. It's very strange.
It's strange. I've seen that one where he's got the little flaps in front of his ears. It looks like he's got a mask on. I've seen another one where looks like someone wearing a Biden mask. I mean, what's going on with the world?
There's some talk that there's talk that he used to have detached earlobes, but now he has attached earlobes, which doesn't happen in in life ever.
It's just crazy stuff. I mean, you got to wonder what on earth is going on. What are we seeing on the TV? Is any of it real? You know, it's crazy. It's crazy world.
Is the media so this blatantly ridiculous in Australia with some of the tactics and things that they're doing?
Oh, yeah. Next level. Same as, I mean, I don't watch much of it. When I do get to see a little bit of TV, I just can't believe what they're saying to people. It's like watching a kindergarten lecturer or something talk to little children. You know, it's incredible the way the media talks to the people, and all blatant disinformation, and no one's sharing the truth. When the truth does come out, the media just doesn't report it. They don't report. They only report one side of the story. They have been through this whole pandemic. That's why it's been this way. And never before have you seen it to this extent. I mean, normally there'll be a little bit of debate just to have the theater there for the people so they can see a little bit of, you know, counterpoint and point counterpoint. None of that with this. None of that with this. It's just all one-sided. And anybody who speaks out anything, even offers a question, is attacked and vilified. Thousands of doctors attacked and vilified. Thousands of people being deregistered, losing their licenses. Nobody's getting the truth at all. So, yeah, and you can't expect any from the media. We get a little bit from Sky News, but not much at all. I mean, they'll give you 90% of the truth, but then they will misdirect you the way everybody always does, you know. But I think even these guys are seeing it. Even these guys are seeing that, hang on, what's happening here? Nobody's going to be safe from it. Not even the politicians are going to be safe from the system they're creating. Once AI takes over the whole thing, nobody's going to be safe from it.
Now, we have vaccine passports here in the United States, New York. There's a couple of other states that have issued them. Do you have anything similar to that they're trying to do there? And it's like this passport type idea?
They're talking about it in New South Wales, vaccine passports. You know, once they get to 70% jabbed, only the jabbed will be able to have the freedoms, rah, rah, rah. They're talking about it. I haven't seen anything. I mean, I haven't abided by any of this. I've never scanned in a QR code. I've never worn a mask. I don't own a cell phone. So, you know, the only thing that I've seen, the only thing that's changed in my life is the borders have been closed and I can't travel. That's the only thing that's changed. But they are talking about it. There's thousands of businesses that are saying they don't want to do it. There's a Facebook page that opened. I can't go on there. I'm not on Facebook. There's a Facebook page that opened called Businesses All Welcome, Jabbed or Unjabbed. And it got something like 180,000 members in 4 days joined up to this Facebook page. So there's a lot of businesses that don't want to know about it. There's a lot of businesses that aren't going to be complying. So that's a good thing. And, you know, ultimately, if the government fines them for not complying, well, the fines aren't lawful. They won't stand up in court anyway. So a lot of people are prepared to push that. And I think that's a good thing. They're talking about it, though. They're trying, you know. I don't think they're going to get away with it. I think that's going to be one of the watershed moments, one of the straws that breaks the camel's back. People just aren't going to comply with it. I mean, I'm not seeing anybody enforce QR codes or anything anywhere. They might have them at the front of the shop, because they get fined if they don't, but they don't enforce you scanning them or you know, wearing masks or any of that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Now, earlier you had mentioned number of deaths and adverse reactions. I think you said something like 400 deaths. Now, how accurate do you think these numbers are that you're getting over there?
I don't think they're accurate at all. I think it's vastly more than that. But according to the TGA website, it's been like 471 deaths or something and 40,000 or 46,000 adverse reactions around that. I think it's probably much, much more than that. Same as the United States. I mean, the VAERS website will give you certain figures. I've heard reports that it could be anything from 1 to 10 to 100 times more than the VAERS website. I'm hearing reports come out of the UK that hundreds of thousands of people are dying from the jab. You know, it's hard to confirm all these things, but these are the reports that I'm hearing. I did an interview with a funeral director the other day, which went absolutely viral on BitChute, and he talked about that he's dealing with vaccine recipients exclusively now, and he didn't see a pandemic through the last 2 years when there was supposed to be a pandemic. He didn't see the numbers of bodies. And now that they've started jabbing people, he's seeing bodies from all ages. And the main causes of death are heart attacks, respiratory failure, stroke, multiple organ failure, and blood clots. And it's all from the vaccine. And he's seeing it in all ages. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think we're getting anywhere near the actual figures, and a lot of the adverse reactions aren't even reported. I mean, I know people who've got, like, their sister went and had the jab and got all these adverse reactions, and the doctor won't even admit that it is from the jab. So that, of course, doesn't get reported as adverse reactions. And that would be 90% of people that are having adverse reactions. I'll go through weeks of trying to tell you it's something else. Oh, we don't know what this is, and we don't know what that is, and oh, no, it can't be related to that, you know. When, hey, that's the common factor. I had the jab 2 days ago, and now I'm all messed up, and you're telling me it's got nothing to do with the jab. I just suddenly developed all these incredibly freaking exotic illnesses, you know, but it's nothing to do with the jab, because the doctors don't want to admit it, so they're not reporting it. So you'll find that these figures are hugely under what they actually are in all of our countries, you know.
Yeah, that's one of the more frustrating things right now for me, is to get a consensus of not only those numbers, but where people are standing, where people, how people feel about what this is going on, because we're only getting the one side of this from our media, and there's only a few people that in your, you know, surroundings and your friends and family that you can talk to get an idea of what's actually happening. And I've talked to a lot of people, like you said, who have had injuries, and I know a few people who have died from vaccines so far, not from COVID. No, maybe they've gotten sick for a few days and gotten over it, but that's it.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, but all they're calling everything COVID, everything, and it appears that they're killing people. I mean, even if they're saying you get a headache, it could be COVID, go for a test. So you think about it, you get a headache, you're going, oh, I better go for a COVID test. They test you positive because they can ramp it up to 45 cycles and test you positive anytime they want. Now, oh, you're a COVID positive patient, we're going to put you in a ward. Now that we've got you in a ward, we're going to run the COVID protocol on you, which means we're going to give you remdesivir. We're going to give you all these exotic drugs that are going to kill you, and then we're going to put you down as a COVID death. And that's what they're doing. People who aren't even COVID positive, they're just testing them positive, but they're going in there with a headache or a runny nose or whatever, testing them positive for COVID, putting them in these rooms, feeding them these drugs and killing them. And then they're getting paid money because they had a COVID patient. So these hospitals are getting 30 or 40 grand every time someone dies in their hospital, they put them on a ventilator. It's a huge industry at the moment, and that's how they're getting their numbers up. They're calling everything a COVID death. Doesn't matter what. There was a guy here in Australia, 20 years old, who they tested post-mortem. He was already dead, and they tested him positive for COVID and put him down as a COVID death. I mean, they're just taking the piss. He's dead, you know. What are you testing a dead guy for, you know? It's incredible. You know, he died of whatever, died of a heart disease or died of a car accident or whatever. It doesn't matter. We'll test him. Oh, look, we've got a positive result. So that way they can get their money. They can put it down as a COVID test. They can jack the numbers up, you know. So it's a huge scam, and they're killing people who aren't even sick. Anything that you've got at all, do not go to a hospital, because to become an inpatient in hospital right now is virtually a death sentence. They're just killing people in these places, and they're doing it right around the world.
It's become a huge joke. It's like they are throwing some of this stuff in our face, even with, you know, not only just symbolism and media, and our world leaders and politicians are coming on TV and saying things about the new world order and just outright throwing these things in our face. It's like that they know that they have us where they want us, and they're kind of, it's like a revelation of the method type thing. They're just showing us and throwing it in our faces every day.
Yeah, it's there. They're not even hiding it anymore. And I've said several times on the TV here, this is the new world order, and they're not. It's not slips of the tongue. They're letting you know. They're saying it very, very deliberately, you know. So yeah,
you know, as the narrative has kind of shifted now that we have the vaccine, I feel like as a whole, we're kind of getting away from a lot of the basics. We're getting away from the testing doesn't work. We're getting away from all of the things that we had as our arguments in the very beginning when this thing first came out, the reclassification of deaths, all that stuff has kind of gone the wayside as we've moved more towards this vaccine pro or against narrative. And I think that's kind of frustrating, because really, we really need to be talking about the fact that the tests don't work still. And that we've kind of moved away from that. We've haven't even addressed really the spike protein and the HIV inserts that have been now identified by a dozen different teams. You know, we have completely moved away from all these things. And that's been very frustrating for me to watch as I keep up with what's happening.
Yeah, well, the vaccine is a bioweapon. The vaccine is the cause of the, I mean, the vaccine is what they want. The whole pandemic was created just to get the vaccine into you, and the vaccine is the bioweapon. Even the concept that this was a bioweapon from Wuhan that escaped, because, you know, the whole bat soup narrative was starting to kind of lose ground, so they had to sort of push it over to the Wuhan thing. You know, oh, it's a bioweapon. That may be more believable. People will like that more. It's more attractive to the conspiracy theorists, you know. So,
yeah, I will,
I'm still going to push onto the concept that there is actually a pathogen circling around. There is a reason for you to have this jab, you know. It's the jab. The jab is the bioweapon. The jab is the pathogen. This is a two-pronged biological attack, and the first prong of it is the propaganda to convince you that there is a pathogen so that you have the pathogen, which is the jab, you know.
And it seems so transparent. It seems so obvious, and I just, it's really kind of exposing people who just can't think for themselves and probably never have.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? It's mind-boggling that there's still people after all this time who cannot see the narrative. It's mind-boggling that anybody actually thinks the virus is real. I mean, look around you. Where's all the bodies? Where's all the people falling over? And you say to a guy, you know, oh, do you think it was bat soup, or you think it was a bioweapon? You know, you should be wearing a mask. Oh, really? Should I? Well, first, do you think it was bat soup, or you think it was a bioweapon? Oh, it's a bioweapon, definitely a bioweapon from Wuhan. Oh, really? So you think a guy escaped from the Wuhan lab infected? So there was a guy in a level 4 hazmat suit that has the air replaced all the time, and he somehow got infected with this virus, and you think you're going to protect yourself from it by wearing this little cloth mask. This is where you're going. This is your logic. You think it actually came out of a lab. But you wearing this little thing here. Yeah, right. You know, it's, and they look at you and go, oh, you know, maybe I'm not thinking clearly. You know, it's incredible, mate. It's incredible. So,
and the lying with statistics is really kind of driving me crazy too, because when you look at the death rates, particularly the best ones I find are the death rates per 100,000 that they're attributing to COVID, they're all less than the flu and what pneumonia has been for the last 20, 30 years. You know, it's all out of context, and nobody is seemingly giving a shit that it's out of context.
Look at the death rates. Look at the undertakers and funeral directors, like that guy I interviewed the other day. No spike in cases at all. Actually, lower rates. You look at the death figures for Australia in the last 3 years, 4 years. We got lowest deaths in the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah, less deaths in 2020 than there was in 2019. So where's the pandemic? If you really look at the overall death figures for the last 10 or 15 years, you find that we've had the lowest deaths in 17 years. And that's when you consider the growth of population, we've had the lowest worldwide deaths in 17 years. How is there a pandemic? Can someone explain it to me, please? You know, doesn't make sense.
I've heard rumors lately that there's some people that tried to even leave Australia and were denied, and for no reason. They were even vaccinated and they tried to leave and they couldn't leave. Is this true that people can't even leave Australia right now?
Yeah, you got to apply for travel exemptions and things like that. You've got to apply, give a reason why you want to leave, and you've got to leave for longer than 3 months. And you've got to agree to go into self-quarantine or whatever when you get home. But you've got to give a reason. You can't just buy a ticket and leave. You've got to have a reason to leave, and it's got to be for business or humanitarian or whatever, you know. So I've actually been invited to do a 12-part documentary with someone, and I've applied for a travel exemption to see if I can go and do that for 3 months, but I don't know whether they're going to let me out of the country to do that. So, yeah.
Seems like the kind of place that you almost have to defect from these days, like the Soviet crazy. Union in the 80s. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Like, I feel like a caged animal. Like, I've spent most of my life traveling, and I've been here now since September 2019. I can't leave the country. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier kind of the AI takeover of everything, and I can see how algorithms are dictating YouTube, Facebook. We're still barely on YouTube with our show. You know, we do the stuff that's not too controversial on there. Facebook we use for promotion, but it has become so obvious that AI runs the whole show. They pick what to censor, these bots and whatever these AI algorithms are. They actually predict. I don't know how. It seems like they're predicting my thoughts sometimes with some of the stuff that shows up on my news feed. So you're absolutely right about that. And I'm wondering, how deep do you think that AI goes when it comes to control of electronic systems, computer systems, social media, all this stuff?
I think AI will eventually control the entire thing. It might not be completely in control at the moment, but it is to a great extent. And it is predicting your thoughts and reading your thoughts. I mean, I've had moments where I've thought of something and I've got an ad for it after thinking about it. And once it knows, your body goes through certain electromagnetic things and certain electromagnetic processes before you have a thought. You know, there's certain processes to this. So when you're in front of these LED screens all the time, and LED is a form of Wi-Fi, it's very, very fast internet. It's reading you and you're reading it, and you're not really realizing this interface is happening. And yeah, it can very likely predict what you're going to think after repetition, after you being involved in this machine and dealing with it all day. It knows what you are, and it knows what you're going to do, and it knows how you're going to react. And yeah, AI will eventually be in control of everything. And that's even the politicians, I think, a lot of them are seeing this. So they're actually moving themselves out of a job. Soon you won't even have, you won't need politicians, you won't need courts, you won't need any of that stuff. The AI will determine everything. The police will get messages from the AI that this guy's stepped outside the rules and you've got to go and find him, and his sentence will already be determined. You've got to go and get him and put him in the re-education center, So, this is the way it's going to go. You only have a politician there as a figurehead, like a state premier or a state governor or a president or whatever. They'll just be a figurehead for the TV to be able to get out there and make the statement that the AI wants them to make. And do they even need to be real? I mean, when you look at Biden, is he real? A lot of the stuff you see, it looks like a guy in a mask. I mean, this could be the kind of the experiment that they're doing to how do we have a president without actually having a president? We just have the figurehead there, and they're kind of moving towards that now, which is what TV's done. I mean, TV gives you this impression of power and impression of control and this impression of knowledge. It's all there from that little box. They sit on their podium and they put their suit on, they get the lighting right, and they put a few flags behind them, and they present this thing that people see it and they take it in and think, wow, it's this big spectacle. But it's not. It's just this little screen in the corner. But it looks like it's a big spectacle, as if they're there in front of the White House with this whole crowd of stuff and it's all happening and they're involved in it. TV does that to you, but you don't actually need any of it to be real. Just a guy sitting there at a desk, he hasn't even got he's in board shorts. He's just got a suit top on, a few decals behind him, and you think it's this big spectacle. It's not. So they're able to do that with television. And now that they've brought in deep fake and all the stuff, you don't even need to have the right people. You could be you there pretending you're President Biden. Yeah. You're just one guy, the man behind the curtain running the whole show, So that's kind of what we're leading to. And in that situation, AI will be in control of everything. And AI has always been in control of everything. I think that's why it's led us to this point where we're just basically giving our power away, giving our life skills away. People can't do anything anymore. And they've done it with their medicine as well. They burnt all the witches and they called them witches. They weren't. They were healers and midwives and all this sort of stuff. So we lost all that medical knowledge and all that herb-based plant knowledge, moved us into the allopathic medical system. So none of us have got the skills to look after ourselves or heal ourselves anymore. We're all dependent upon this system. Now they take that away from you. So nobody knows how to do anything anymore. And that becomes like a killing factory. So they've taken everything. You've got young kids leaving school, going to get jobs in hardware stores, got to read an instruction manual or watch an instruction manual or watch an instruction video on how to operate a tape measure. They're that stupid. People can't even find their way around their own towns anymore without a GPS. They can't do anything, people. They don't know how to plant a seed. They don't know how to grow a crop. They don't know how to collect water. They don't know how to chop firewood. They don't know how to heal themselves. They don't know how to cook food without getting it out of a packet. So we've been totally set up for a fall. All they have to do is implode the supply chain, and 90% of the people in the world are just going to die by default because they can't look after themselves. So we've been set up to this point. This is what I was warning people of in my first film, The Big Picture, back in 2008. I said, we're being set up. All this codependency, that we're losing our life skills. We've been moved into a situation in a city where we don't know how to be people anymore. And all they've got to do is break down the supply chain and the whole world's going to implode. And that's what we've been set up to do. And then AI will come in to save us all, you know?
Yeah, you were talking about the fakery that's on TV and how easy it is these days. Well, if you combine that with the technology that we may possibly have, you know, we hear people say that we could be 50, 100, 200 years ahead of what's in the public as far as our technological capabilities. Well, who's to say they don't have like Biden as a freaking robot up there, or some kind of android, or not even, you know, human, some kind of CGI or something. It's highly possible that, you know, all we're seeing, all of this stuff is just faked to create a culture and steer us in a certain direction, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think any of the technology we're using is new. I think it's all old technology. They filter it out. I would suggest that the people really running the show live in the underground bases that we know are around the place. And they do these resets all the time, and they teach us whatever history they want, and they just get us to a certain point where they can do a big harvest the way they're doing now. I think it's all. I think that even saying the technology is 100 or 200 years ahead of what we think it is, I don't think we have any idea of what technology really is. And I think that the TV, the Industrial Revolution, all that shit, that was just the last reset. And they said it was an industrial revolution. And they showed us the invention of the television. Then it led up to what we've got now, computers and smartphones. But I think they were already here. I think that the computers and smartphones and all this stuff was already there 100 years ago. They just didn't tell us it was there. They've just filtered it out. When you look at some of the stuff that there was there in the old culture, slightly different ways of doing it, but very, very similar technology. Like they had electric trains, they had electric push bikes, they had, you know, electric cars, they had these mirrors that they used to look into to communicate with each other. They had all sorts of stuff that
things like Tartaria, right?
In Tartarian technology, yeah. Some of the stuff they had, the free energy buildings, we had spectacular technology. And the technology we've got now is designed to control us. You know, the technology that we had then was designed to free us, but the technology we've got now is designed to control us. But it's like a mirror of the real world. Like they've taken everything good and they've inverted it and turned it into a control system. But I don't think any of it is new technology. I just think they've revamped it and presented it in a way that causes us dependence upon it rather than freedom from using it, you know?
You said something earlier that you thought AI, this isn't anything new, this control, that it's kind of always been around. Could you talk a little bit more about what do you mean by that?
Well, when I look at this world and this resets and everything that we've gone through, I think AI is already in control. I think AI has been steering. I mean, this plan is so complex, the plan that has been used to enslave mankind. I don't know how the mind of man could have come up with this. I think that it's you know, if you can imagine that these resets happen all the time and they just teach us whatever history they want, but it's already all planned, all algorithms, all worked out as designed to harvest us and bring us into the mainframe. Maybe this is why you can't wake up so many people, because they're already in the mainframe. These are just pieces of consciousness driving around in biological avatars who don't even know they're not human. It's kind of like Westworld, you know, so... they don't even realize. That's why you'll never wake people up, because they're already in the mainframe. They're already there. They don't even know it. And they're trying to get the rest of us in there. They're trying to get all of human consciousness into this AI mainframe. And so we're just permanently enslaved forever and ever more. That's what I think is going on. And I think they create this whole scenario so it looks like this old world and it looks like the progression of technology. Like I said, you know, they invent the television and lead us to this point, so it looks believable. But I think it was already there. I think they've already done it. And I think a lot of the people that are controlling this probably aren't human, you know. So that's why you get no empathy from them. That's why the plan is so complex. I mean, even when you look at it, you've got to think, wow, you really got to hand it to these guys for planning. They really Yeah, you got to give it to them, really. The intelligence of this
always
plan
seems to be like 10, 12, even more steps ahead of them.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And no matter how much you can predict it and see what's going on, even when you just look at the complexity of it and the time and the mind it would have taken to work this out, is that human? Is a human even capable of doing that, or is it already AI? You know, and if it was, and if you were going to do this, and you were going to harvest consciousness and keep it going and recycle and just gradually get more and more of it, how would you go about it? You'd have to do it in this sort of a way. So, to me, I think that AI is already in control. I think there's a whole other reality going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of.
The one thing that's always been most shocking to me is it has always seemed like these plans are multi-generational. And that takes a certain type of mind for sure to be able to plan to achieve goals 2, 3, 4 generations beyond one's own death. So yeah, it would seem to have some sort of origins and something beyond the mind of men.
Mm, yeah. It just appears to be that way to me. I think it's AI. I already think it's AI. I even wonder about CERN and dimensional portals and like you look at the Mandela effect. Even the Mandela effect, what was that all about? I mean, that's so interesting. Did we actually move into a different reality, or was that a field test at replacing people's memories? You know, so that suddenly, like the ones of us that are sitting in front of the monitor and we suddenly get these memories replaced, is that how they find out who the real humans are? They were the ones who managed to get their memories replaced or whatever. I mean, it was some sort of a field test, some sort of a beta test, memory replacement. And I think it was something that was actually used to identify who the real people are, you know, because they will be the ones that remember things differently, you know? So I think a lot of it is, you know, like playing needle in the haystack. You know, they want to get all the people, but they want to have fun while they're doing it. It's a game to them, you know? So that's why they created the truth movement. It's a fishing exercise to find out where the real minds are, because only the real people are going to want the truth. Only the real people have got questions. And they're going to move into this. Well, they made 9/11 so obvious. They could have done that so that you couldn't see it. I mean, they could have done it so it looked real. They could have done it so you didn't know that it was a staged event. But no, they made it so obvious because they wanted to wake people up and they wanted to create the truth movement because they wanted to go fishing. It's a fishing exercise. It's what they call the internet, the World Wide Web. You know, what do you do with the net? What do you do with the web? You catch things. What are they catching? Consciousness. That's what the truth movement is for, because the truth is no one knows what the truth is. That's the truth. So they call it the truth movement because it's a loaded term. So everyone's arguing over their belief systems. It's not about the truth at all. It's about what you believe to be true. It should be the freedom movement. But they don't call it that. They call it the truth movement. You know, it's a scam. The whole thing's been a setup. It's a phishing exercise.
Yeah, it's what Corey and I have been calling the double, triple whammy agents that are, you know, infiltrated into this community to kind of get people awakened and looking in a certain direction, usually the wrong direction. But that seems like a new thing the past few years, especially as we've seen a lot of these people kind of infiltrating into the community with all kinds of, you know, new age concepts. The Great Awakening, QAnon, all this stuff, I think, was, like you said, planted there for a reason.
Oh, yeah. All of it's planted there for a reason. I get you to distrust everybody as well. I mean, counterintelligence will always give you a lot of truth, but it'll throw misinformation and misdirection in there with it. You know, and really, it's about self-empowerment. This whole thing is about self-empowerment. The truth is, like I said, the truth is no one knows what the truth is. You are the only truth you will ever know, and that's what you should be focusing on is you know, being all that you can be and being the most powerful thing you can be and realizing that we're all in this together in Lakesh, I'm another yourself. Have that respect for people. We'll change the world in a day. But they want you looking down all these rabbit holes and distrusting everyone who wears orange and whatever. You know, people have been programmed into color fear, shape fear, mannerism fear. Can't anybody who does that, oh, it's a 666 sign. Well, hang on, maybe they're just saying it's okay, you know. I know you gotta put symbolism into everything. And people who speak with their hands, a lot of people just speak with their hands and make mannerisms when they talk. So we maybe turn them all into secret symbols and all this sort of stuff. So everybody distrusts everybody. So no one ever really gets any real information. Everyone's looking for the answer externally. They're looking who to blame externally. They're not realizing it's their compliance with their own slavery, which is creating the whole situation. And you can just stop doing that anytime if you can just step outside of that fear of getting in trouble and fear of death and fear of all this stuff that we're taught to fear, you know? So yeah, it's a huge distraction, but I think it's a setup. The whole thing's been a setup. The whole truth movement was a setup. The whole internet was a setup. 9/11 was a setup. It was all designed to lead us to this point, which is why they've now segregated us and moved us over into echo chambers like BitChute. So we're cut off from the people who are in the mainframe. And when they take us all out, well, like they say, the revolution will not be televised. That will happen when they do cyber polygon or whatever, and we'll just sort of gradually disappear, you know, and then society will go along like the sludge that it is, you know.
Yeah. Now, I want to go back to some of the doctors and even officials, politicians that are not necessarily high level that, you know, I would think would have more of a voice in this to, you know, what's right, what's going on with people. Do you think that there's a lot of kickbacks and payoffs to, you know, people in the medical field, low-level politicians to push these agendas and keep things going in the right way, even if they don't know what's going on, you know?
Well, I think there's kickbacks and payoffs, but not to really low-level ones. I mean, to high-level ones. The low-level ones, they just get them through the fear of unemployment or whatever. I mean, most people live to their means. You know, even if you get a reasonably respected doctor or whatever, he's living to his means. You threaten him with being deregistered, he's going to do what he's told, you know, because he's got a mortgage to pay off. He's got kids that want to go to school and they want their piano lessons and this and that. And, you know, his wife's dependent upon him and his wife will leave him if he doesn't do this. And, you know, so people live to their means. It doesn't matter if you're making $100 a week or $10,000 a week, you're living to your means. You know, people who've got make $10,000 a week still don't have much money in the bank because they're living to their means. They've got an expensive car, they've got an expensive house, they've got expensive sheets. You just buy more expensive stuff when you make more money. So all you got to do is threaten to take that away from people. You know, when you got this whole situation here where people have got mortgages, they got cars to pay off, they got to pay to be alive, and they've created them a situation for themselves where they're dependent upon their income. So that's all you got to do is hold that over people's heads. And you know, you get the high-level ones who you know, the judges and the high-level, like executives and administrators of the medical industry and stuff, they'll end up going to the private parties and they'll end up being underage hookers there and stuff, and they'll end up being videoed and they'll end up getting dirt on them. So they've got to do what they're told, and they'll keep the lower-level guys in line just by controlling their wages and controlling their hours. You know, like what they do is if a doctor says the wrong thing, you know, he speaks out about vaccinations, just reduce his hours at the hospital and suddenly he won't have enough money to continue doing what he's doing. He'll have to go and get a part-time job, you know. So he's not going to do that. He's not going to step outside the line. He's just going to turn a blind eye and do the right, well, I've got it because, you know, it's work and I'll lose my job and I've got a mortgage to pay off and, you know. That's the way they do it. So they've done that with everybody. You've got them all dependent upon the system. And that's one of the reasons I stepped out of the system years ago. Like I've worked as a musician most of my life. I managed to collect a lot of guitars and then I sold all them and I lived off them for a long time. I've never had any, I don't collect unemployment or pensions or anything like that from the government. And, people can donate through Patreon or whatever, but it's all disconnected from the system. So I don't have any, they can't do anything to me to silence me. There's nothing that all they can do to silence me is come and silence me. They can't deny me any payments or deny me any services because I cut myself off all that stuff years ago because I could see all this coming. You know what I mean? So, but a lot of people haven't. A lot of people who are even in the truth movement, I find a lot of people here in Australia, they're on the pension or they're on the dole or something like that. So they can only say a certain amount of truth. They'll only say so much because they don't want the government to cut off their benefits or they don't want to lose their job or they don't want to, you know, but I don't have any of that. So I can just say it as it is. Yeah. But they've created that situation just to be able to control people, you know, because you've got people in a situation where they've got to pay to be alive. So, you know, it comes down to that bottom line in the end. You know, if you speak out too much, we're going to cut off all your income. We're going to cut off all your resources. And now that they've taken out landlines and all this stuff, they can just cut you off the internet. Like Vinnie Eastwood went to a protest in New Zealand. Vinnie Eastwood from you know, whatever the show is, Vinnie Eastwood Show. He went to a protest in New Zealand. They said, well, you've gone to a rally of more than 100 people. That's breaking the law, you know, during a health crisis. So now we're going to deny you access to any internet capable devices. So now he can't even go online. He can't talk to anybody. He can't even contact a lawyer because it's all emails now. You don't send snail mail to people. He's confined to his house. He can't leave his home 24 hours a day, can't use the internet. How do you have any communication with anybody? How do you do anything when you're in that situation? Because they've taken all the other means of communication away and got you completely dependent upon the internet. So I've been telling people, throw away your smartphones. Don't be dependent on all this stuff, you know, because if you do, they can take it away from you, which is why they're getting you dependent on it. It's why they want your finances and your tracking devices and your maps and your freaking personal assistants and everything all on your phone and everything. Then they can just take your phone away from you. And then you don't know how to do anything in life and you don't have access to the world around you because there's this digital interface between you and reality. Without that digital interface, you don't have any contact to reality. I've been warning people of this for years and they're doing it now. Exactly now they're doing it. This is the punishment for people that step outside the line. They just take your devices away from you and you're completely cut off. So yeah, we've been very cleverly led to this point, brother. And that's why you've got to disconnect yourself. You've got to stay in touch with your life skills. And you've got to be prepared to get to a situation where you can just walk into the forest if you need be, and you can still get by that way, you know?
Yeah. I will have plenty of researchers and guests on that are the firm belief that this is a depopulation agenda / sterilization type thing that's happening right now. And within a few years, we're going to see a large portion of the population die or become sterile. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's definitely what they're doing with this jab rollout. It's killing people and it's sterilizing people. This is all about depopulation and transhumanism, the whole thing.
Yeah, that's it's pretty terrifying. Now, Corey, do you have any other questions before I want to maybe offer some solutions, especially to people in Australia? What do you think would be the first step for people to take, even because this is so daunting? But before we get to that, you have anything
so
else, Corey?
The one thing that keeps coming to mind is, like, remember that old TV show, V, where the aliens came down and we had to fight back against them? I remember that there were these secret rebel groups that were meeting in private and planning on how to fight back. And I really can't see any alternatives than us getting there. Max, do you see us heading in that direction, or do you think that this thing will be cut off before we get there?
Either way, I mean, I think we're seeing rebel groups forming already. It depends. It really depends on how far it could go. I mean, it could get that ugly. It really could get that ugly. That it does come to that. I hope it doesn't. I hope the wheels fall off before then. I hope that people wake up. But the unfortunate thing is that so many people have already had the jab. And when they get sick, that's when things are going to really move to the next level. That's when we're going to see the real pandemic. And of course, they're going to blame it on the unvaxxed. And it could easily move into martial law in that point. So that's the scary part, is where it can go. I mean, they've got to kind of stretch it out until they got all their depopulation centers built, or their quarantine centers that they're calling them. They're building them all over the place. So we've got probably until early to mid next year before we see anything like that. But it may well go to that. I mean, if people haven't pushed back and there isn't some sort of a political solution, and I don't have a lot of faith in political solutions, but you know, if there isn't some sort of political solution, it could end up like that next year, where people literally have to go underground and just form their own groups of resistance and fight back in a way that, whatever way they can.
So what would you say, you know, especially starting out right now, for people who would like to prepare for situations like that, what should they do? What should they start to looking into?
Well, get lots of food stored, get lots of food stored, and get healthy, get in the right mental state. do lots of meditation, get yourself prepared for what you're going to face and get back in touch with your life skills. I mean, it could easily turn into Mad Max world, you know, or it could turn into something like Equilibrium. You just don't know which way it's going to go. I mean, I've been saying for years to build community. I was saying in 2008, build strong ties in your community so that all the people in your street will stand up together. And, you know, people should have done this sort of stuff years ago. You know, it's getting to the point now where those people who are awake should already have steps. They should already have food stashed. They should already have a backup plan. They should already have a place to bug out to, somewhere to go. I mean, some way to just go and keep their head above water and weather the storm until things settle down in 5 years from now or so. If people haven't done that already, well, I suggest they really start getting a plan B organized and forget everything about this society. Think what you would do in Mad Max world, or what you would do if you were like, you know, Davy Crockett or something. You know, what would you do if you're an explorer, you know, a frontiersman, you know? That's the sort of stuff you need to think about. If it comes to that, well, that's what you're going to need. And if you haven't got that, then just be prepared to face infinity without flinching, you know, because that's what it's going to come to. I mean, I've been suggesting all this stuff for years. I started a Full Circle Project years ago so people could form local ties in their community and get all these community groups happening. But people didn't do it. And now people are asking me now to do those sorts of things. And I'm saying, well, it's kind of too late now. You should have done this stuff years ago. So that's all I can say to people is put yourself in the right mental and energetic state. Get in touch with what it means to be human again. Get your life skills back together and be prepared to weather the storm, you know.
Very good. Anything else before we close out, Corey?
Well, one thing that I'm kind of doubtful of, you know, we know that they've lied about the numbers across the board. And I think they're lying to us about the vaccine numbers, because currently we're almost at 6 billion. And when you do the math on that, and I went over this a week or two ago, that they would have had to, from the first jab, December 15th of last year, and now done over 300 jabs per second, nonstop, 24 hours a day, to get to this number of 5.7 something billion that they're at. To me, it's clear that they're lying. It's impossible for them to have manufactured and administered that many vaccines in that amount of time, unless they had the vaccines, you know, shelved for years prior to the first first inoculation. So have you any insight or come across any reason to suspect they might be lying about these jab numbers and what the purpose of that might be?
Well, I think the purpose of it is to just so people will think that the jabbed are in the majority, so I need to go and join the majority. Everyone else is doing it, and it's all safe, so I might as well go and do it, you know. I think that's why they're doing that, just to promote that concept that, you know, you're not in the majority. All the anti-vaxxers are the minority. You need to be in the majority. It's a small minority of anti-vaxxers. No, it isn't. And they're not anti-vaxxers. They're pro-choice people. And, I think they're totally fudging the numbers. COVID. I think they're totally fudging the numbers. I don't think anywhere near that many people have been jabbed, but they've got to promote it that way because, you know, everyone wants to join the majority. They say, oh, we did 40,000 yesterday, or we did 200,000 jabs yesterday. Yeah, rubbish. Rubbish you did. You know, I honestly don't know anybody who's got it. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there, but I don't know.
Right. Well, Max, thank you so much for coming on today. Fantastic information as usual. Let everyone know where they can find you on BitChute still, right?
Yeah, on BitChute. You can go to thecrowhouse.com. You'll find all the links there. You'll find me on BitChute. You'll find me on Odyssey. You'll find me on 3Speak. I'm pretty well banned everywhere else, but you'll find me there. But if you go to thecrowhouse.com, all the links are there.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, Max, and we will definitely have you back on in the future to discuss our crumbling society here.
Hopefully it won't be crumbling by then, brother. Hopefully we'll be rebuilding the new one from the ashes, you know.
That'd be wonderful. Well, thanks again, Max. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We'll talk again tomorrow.